and welcome back to the Worst Sister Shire podcast. We're three sisters who decided to start up a podcast to talk about our favourite TV shows and movies. And this week we'll be continuing with the segment Shadewood, where we cover the TV show Pretty Little Liars. This week we'll be covering Season 4, Episode 19, called Shadow Play. And it is not a crowd favourite this week. I don't think anyone's particularly happy with this episode. But let's introduce ourselves before we get right into it. Say hi, guys.
Hi, I'm Suna.
Hi, I'm Sadie.
And I'm Arzum. And this week's episode is a bit of a miss. So we go through a drug-induced daze back into the 1940s in a black and white noir style episode where we find out a bit more about Allison, her journal, and what's going on with Ezra. Should we get right into it?
Yeah.
Before we start, as you mentioned, we all talked about this beforehand and decided we all hate this episode.
It is the actual worst.
And every time I rewatch this show, I hate this episode.
Same.
Because I knew we were recording this today, I went on Reddit and I searched the Pretty Little Liars subreddit because I was like, I want to see how much other people hate this too. So yep. I googled film noir episode on the Reddit, and I'm shocked that a lot of people like it.
What do you mean?
So I'll read you some comments. Original A says, one of the coolest episodes, not gonna lie, it's underrated.
It's underground and it's overrated. First
Snake,
of all,
Snakeblood456, who we love because she has been a strong supporter of us
since day one. Thank you. Love you. Love your work.
Love you. But she says, oh my God, yes, I know that lots of people don't like this episode, but it's super iconic. The outfits, the vibes, the lines, it's perfect and one of my favorites.
Okay, I will give her that the outfits are cool, but I hate literally everything else.
And the hair. The hair looks good too.
The hair does look good. The hair does look good. But everything else, I hate everything about it.
And it's not even like everyone's outfits and everyone's hair. Like what they did to Paige was horrendous. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they did Paige dirty.
They did Paige dirty. I've got two favorites in the show. So the two people that I thought like really, what's the word I'm looking for? Like yakashite. What's that in English?
Suited the vibe.
Yeah, suited the vibe was Toby and Hannah. I know, big surprise.
Ew, Toby was my least favorite.
I know, Toby was so overdone.
I know, but it fit. If you're going to go 1940s film noir crap, then you want to do the thing over the top. And he fit that. But Hannah looked like a bloody pinup model.
You just like Toby.
No, I stopped liking Toby.
No, ever since you found out he's not evil, you're all into him again.
Yes.
Nervous giggles.
I know, literally.
So yeah, anyway, guys, I was like just a couple of the comments on the Reddit. I read quite a lot more and I was genuinely surprised that people like this episode because it's not for me.
Yeah, it's definitely not for me. I can't think of any redeeming qualities about it because we'll get into this in a second. Not only was it really annoying and dramatized and just like did not get to the point, it was so slow. Like we barely got any information out of it.
We got no information.
We got some information.
But we shouldn't get any information because it's all in Spencer's mind.
Yeah, I know. It's drug-induced whatever.
Yeah.
But like,
we literally shouldn't get anything good out of it.
And therefore it shouldn't exist. Like,
exactly.
If you scrapped this episode, I don't think anyone would miss it. They would just pick up where the next episode is and continue on like nothing happened.
Also, yeah. My other question about this is, how did A know that Spencer was going to have a film noir vision? Because
literally,
A was watching film noir at the end of last episode.
They just did, okay? Maybe
as like a hint of what's to come. But how did they know Spencer was going to go crazy and dream in film noir?
Well, maybe the pills that she's been taking, A has tampered with to taste like film noir.
Maybe.
Now, okay, so when you guys said that we got information out this episode and we shouldn't have, are we taking the information that we got from this episode seriously?
Well, it depends on what we're talking about. Because, like, for example, Spencer knows that Ezra and Arya are dating again now from the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she also found out that Mona's working with Fitz from the dream.
I think what confuses me about this, like, is it a dream or is it she spent her day talking and doing shit in noir?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, was she just in a drug-induced haze and she saw everything that was genuinely happening in noir? But then it's like, okay, did Mona really kidnap Hannah? Like,
exactly. But also, like, Paige and Emily really back in hiding.
Yeah, are they really back in hiding? And did they really sleep together?
Okay, but also you're missing the point that when she started it, she was watching that movie in her TV kitchen and she was about to take the pills. And when she snapped out of it, she was still watching the same movie. So these things didn't really happen. And if they did, how coincidental is it that she started watching a movie, trying to take pills, and then the whole episode ended with her taking the pills and watching the movie still.
No, I agree with Sadie's interpretation. This wasn't like a day that she lived. She just finds out stuff, and like you couldn't try and justify by saying, okay, yeah, like the Mona thing she dreamt up because she saw Mona getting that diary out of Ezra's desk or whatever she saw her doing.
Yeah.
Files out the room.
Yeah. You could justify it that way. But like, how about everything else that she suddenly knew because she was sleeping?
It's weird.
But then again, in the dream that she's having, everyone keeps telling her, you've got all the pieces, you've got all the pieces, you've got all the pieces. So I'm
oh my like, god, that killed me. Because yeah. It's like no the fuck she doesn't. Yeah. She has none of the pieces, and there's just film noir Toby tilting his hat being like, you know what's going on, Spencer, you see? And I hate it. I hate everything about this so much.
I love that interpretation.
Thank you.
I actually liked everyone telling her that she's got the pieces, because that's like, to me, her subconscious trying to put things together.
Do you know what I didn't like? Her subconscious telling her that she's the smart one, consistently telling her she's the smart one.
Yeah, but that makes sense for Spencer.
But seeing as how you opened the wormhole, I'm going to tell you all the things I hated. One, I hated... I hated Mona's shoes when she went to go get the files from Fitz's office.
Like, there's some things I hated about you.
Your like shoes, your hair, the way you get files.
Exactly.
That was such a cool song.
All right, so should we start going through the characters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on with Emily and Paige? The only thing Emily seems to be doing is hiding her relationship with Paige, etc.
Why? Do you hate to see me walk away?
Ugh, I hate that so much. That was so cringe.
I hate it even more.
Do you know what I hated about this story?
What did you hate?
Did you hate that they were so lucky?
Literally how, like, Arya is like, I used to be a tomboy. I used to spend more time in my tree than in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I know. Literally. And then she's like, but I grew out of it.
Yeah, I grew out of it. Oh, I know what happened. I fell in love for the first time. I hated that scene so much.
I can't believe people said that they liked the lines on this show.
But is that all we want to say for Emily?
I genuinely think so. Like,
all right. If that's all we want to say for Emily.
The only thing I have for Emily is that they were like discussing what the next point of action is. And they were like literally dogging her to talk to Paige about Shana. And she's like, I have to go interrogate my girlfriend. They're like, yes, because we don't have the brain capacity to think about anything else anymore. Like, yeah. You're not going to have a summer fling with someone and them tell you their entire evil villain story and what they plan on doing.
Clearly you haven't had the right summer flings.
But also, like, if she just gave us a bit of context about why she's asking, that would have helped the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, Paige also knows about A.
I think she might be involved with A. Do you think that's reasonable or not? Can you tell me some more stuff about that period? Like, done.
No. We're gonna chuck a Sadie. You miss out anything that's contextable and then just make her feel uncomfortable because she had a summer fling.
Sounds good to me. All right, let's move on to a blonde package.
So what's going on with the blonde package? Absolutely nothing until she decides that she's going to be following Fitz and Mona around.
Yeah, that's what Hannah's whole job is.
So, okay, but we need to take it back. So Hannah was first caught while she was tailing Ezra and Mona. Mona sort of kidnaps her, I guess, and brings her back to Ezra's apartment.
But also, that was the worst kidnapping of all time.
Yeah.
I know.
Because she's just sitting on the couch having a drink.
I know.
She wasn't thirsty especially, okay? She wasn't having a drink, but she did steal the last carrot stick. And also, if you think that people are going to poison you, don't steal their carrot sticks.
But, like, also, it was like Mona rang Spencer and was like, come get your blonde package before something happens to her. They get there. Hannah's just sitting on the couch all casually. And then Hannah's the one that has to help Spencer leave.
Yeah.
I know. What kind of a kidnapping was that?
Yeah. So they get outside and they bring up the number and the email address that was found in Ali's money. And when Spencer rang it back, it belonged to the Fitzgerald Art Foundation. So Hannah then obviously has a friend who works at a switchboard, and this friend helps her find the answering service to the phone number for after hours, which she then calls the service, which is quite clever, and says, "My boss will kill me if I don't find this phone number. Her name is Allison." Like, what if she was using a different name?
It was a risk. She was trying something.
Well, it panned out because they got an address out of it. And the phone call was coming from a pay booth in what I want to call a burlesque show. What was that place?
Yeah, I guess some sort of a entertainment show that she was putting on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're hiding from someone, you shouldn't be on stage flaunting everything your mama gave you. Even in the 1940s, that's a big no-no.
But it was so disgraceful, no one would admit they saw her there.
Are we thinking the money is connected to the number? Like, is that what we're trying to get at here? Like, did she steal some art? Like, is that how she got the money?
Well, this is what I mean. Are we going to take this seriously? Because this happened in her dream.
Yeah, I know. But she has the answers, apparently.
Can we say that this is actually legit, like, where the phone number goes to? Because it just happened in her dream only.
Yeah. But I'm just wondering, like, even in Spencer's subconscious, is that what she thinks is bringing this together? Mike, this is what's so frustrating about this episode, because you don't know what answers you have, what questions you have, because what's real, what's not, what's drug-induced, what's not. Anyway, does Hannah do anything else besides feed into Spencer's delusions?
No.
Don't think so.
Cool. I guess we can quickly cover off on Aria, because she barely exists in these episodes too.
That's true. What does she even do? I can't remember.
All she does is lie to her friends and say she's not with Fitz when she's with Fitz.
Everyday occurrence for her.
Yeah, except it's in black and white this time.
Also, going back to the conversation we had earlier about falling in love for the first time, it disturbs me even more if immediately prior to her falling in love with Ezra, she was playing in trees.
I know, literally.
Like, that's really disturbing to me.
It is.
Like, climbs down from a tree, falls in love with her English teacher.
Ezra's just waiting at the bottoms of trees for girls.
Oh my god, it's so creepy.
If that's the requirement for falling in love, Suna should never be in love, because as a kid she would constantly get stuck in places and people had to go and fetch her.
That only happened a couple of times. So I guess it makes sense now to start at outside of the dream for this, to give the context. So it kind of starts off with them finding Allison's journal in Ezra's desk. As we kind of remember, they had gotten that journal from wherever they got it. Oh, from the A lair.
In Ravenswood.
And then they marked it all up, gave A all the answers, and A stole the book. And then now they find the book in Ezra's desk at work, because that's what you do if you're going to be an evil villain. You bring your villaining to the school where you work.
That's exactly what my point was going to be. You bring your villaining to the school where you work. Also, when you have two lairs and yes, a secret cabin and an apartment.
Exactly.
You're going to take it to work.
He left it there exactly for some light reading.
Yeah, I understand, but also, like, cutting ahead a little bit. So we find out something happens to the book, like something's been, like, changed.
We can talk about it now because that's what I was going to get to as well.
Okay, well, we find out that the book has been placed there, we assume, on purpose to make them find it so they can throw them off their trail, because some things have changed in the book from what they had originally seen.
Yeah, so the book, like, I don't know how they can't tell that the book changed, though, because apparently the story is mostly the same, but they've changed key bits, and the only reason they know that is because they've got photos of the old pages.
Yeah.
How did they change this without it being visible?
Maybe they, like, recreated it, like, forged handwriting and shit, like, traced it and then changed one word.
The only way they could do that is if they recreated the whole book. There's no way you could just edit it.
That's what I'm saying. I think they recreated the whole book.
Freaking mental. Get a hobby mate.
No. And also, that's my point. Like, yes, they planted the book for you to find the new version, whatever, the Taylor's version. But why would the first place you check be the school to begin with?
Yeah, so if they had done that, they would have had to have guessed that Spencer was going to go look in his drawer.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the least bit of our worries.
It's the most of mine. So
the last episode, we saw Spencer just about to break into Ezra's apartment, and Ezra seeing it. But Ezra knows that Spencer's on his tail.
Yeah, but Spencer did some top-notch acting outside of the apartment.
So he knows that she's on to him. right? So he's leaving, like, I don't know, breadcrumbs, I guess.
I get what you're saying. But the other interesting thing that they see when this is happening, so they get the book and then they're hiding out, and Mona also shows up and grabs stuff from Ezra's desk. She grabs a whole bunch of piles, and they assume she had also intended to grab the book, I think.
Yeah.
And I guess that's when she starts having her dreams, thinking that Mona's involved with Ezra.
Yep. So Spencer Noir begins, and Trenchcoat Toby walks in and asks her about the drugs and everything that she's taking. And Spencer's like, I know what you mean. What are you talking about, crazy?
And then Toby's like, hey, how long has that been there? And there's a portrait on the wall.
I know.
And Spencer's like, oh, what? I didn't even notice that. And then he's like, you gotta lay off the drugs, mate.
I know.
And the poster is this glorious image of Allie on the wall.
Like this giant oil painting of Allison. I'm surprised with like such a dictatorship that Allie ran. She didn't insist that there were oil paintings of her in all of her friends' rooms.
Yeah.
But next in Spencer's drug-induced days, she goes to a coffee shop and Ezra is there and kind of asks her, like, have you been back to the Heart and the Huntsman? And she says, like, no, I haven't been since, like, I saw you there. And Ezra says that he wants to take her back there, like, you know, they should go together kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, oh, yeah, I'll get back to you on that, and leaves.
But, like, you know what else was funny about this scene?
Yeah.
The whole coffee interaction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When Ezra comes over and he's like, oh, I'll buy your coffee. And she's like, I'll buy my own coffee. And he's like, it's 15 cents. I'm good for it. And it's like, yeah, well, if it's just 15 cents, she can just buy her own coffee then.
Yeah. But also, like, I don't know, coffees are expensive. And I assume 15 cents was a lot for back then.
It was a lot. And also, he tipped 10 cents on a 15 cents coffee. And Hannah was like, what a freaking waste. I'm glad Arya's done with him.
Well.
I kind of low-key liked Hannah's anti-man vibe.
Yeah, I like that vibe too.
Makes me want to get a dog.
Makes me want to get a dog.
That was one good thing about this episode, just Hannah.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess next thing that happens is...
Well, I guess Allie shows up. Is that the next thing?
Yeah, I think so.
So anyway, Allie shows up and she's just being like mysterious Allie, right? She's just like not even telling her anything interesting.
But she's gushing over her own portrait. She's like, God, I look good, basically.
I know, literally. And she's wearing the same thing as she is in the portrait too. So she must love that outfit.
Yeah.
And she's basically kind of like taunting Spencer about, well, why haven't you told Arya about Ezra?
Yeah, she says something along the lines of, like, honey, when has a woman warning another woman about a man ever worked?
Literally, if you tell her she's a creepy stalker, that might work.
Yeah, maybe.
But is she too in love for it to work?
It's true. She came down for that tree for love.
And Toby, like, comes back and he's, like, grilling Spencer about whether Allison's dead or not.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it is really weird. Like, I feel like Toby's personality in this, like, Sadie thinks it's film noir, but I just think it's so jarring and not Toby.
Yeah.
And it's like, why is he... I feel like he's done nothing the last few episodes and now he's suddenly here in film noir being obsessed with Allie.
Yeah. I think they literally brought him in because he's like the only not toxic boyfriend right now.
Because literally, what's he been doing?
I know, dealing with his mum's not suicide.
That's done. That was done 4 episodes ago.
But he's... emotionally not done with it.
Now he's like trying to track down someone else's bloody death.
Maybe he's also going to Ravenswood for a spin-off.
Maybe. But yeah, I think that's it, because then we do see the girls all finding Allie together, and then Ezra shows up. They're all like still umming and ahhing about whether to warn Arya or not, and Arya's so dumb. Because they were like, no, don't go to him. But won't say what. He's standing right there 4 feet away. And they're all just slowly watching her walk away towards him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I love you, doll, basically.
No constructive feedback, just actually hated it. Like, there's nothing you could do to make this scene better besides delete it. And then the next part, like, kind of confused me. And I think it's because, like, maybe I wasn't paying enough attention when I was watching it. But my notes basically say, like, suddenly Toby's knocking out Ezra.
That's exactly what happened. He suddenly just appeared out of nowhere and knocked out Ezra, right?
Okay, so I didn't miss anything. He just showed up and did that, right?
Yeah. But he only hit him once on the head. They got to hurry.
But why did he do that?
Because he came from elsewhere. He wasn't with them. He just appeared.
Yeah, but he didn't know what was going on because Spencer didn't tell him.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that.
That's what I mean. Like, why did he hit him?
That's a good point. point.
Because he was a creepy man yelling into the dark at 4 teenage girls.
5. Ali was there too.
Good point.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I guess we can put it down to it was a dream, so we can justify it that way.
And it was all a dream.
He's like, oh no, my spidey senses are tingling. My girlfriend's in trouble.
Yeah, so Toby bashes him in the head, and Ara is asking why it happened, and no one's telling her. She's just accepting it.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, okay, fair enough. Keep your secrets then.
And then when Spencer wakes up and the girls come over and they discover the journal, they decide that this is it. Because of everything that happened in Spencer's dream, they can't wait anymore. They have to go tell Ara about Ezra, because they didn't discover anything else in the meantime.
No, they didn't. They were like, Spencer, your dream is all kind of wild. It's a sign.
Exactly. So on the fuel of Spencer's dream, they run off to tell Aria, but they get to her place and dun dun dun, she's there with Ezra kissing.
Smooching. Lucky she doesn't have a dad anymore, or a mum.
Yeah, or a Mike. She has nothing.
I thought she was raising a teenage boy 10 seconds ago. Yeah, and I think that's literally the episode, the really shitty episode.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
When the show actually finishes, the 1940s film noir thing finishes, the takeaway Spencer got from that is that a couple of the words have been changed. The words that were changed were stupid anyway. It wasn't like keywords or anything.
They haven't solved it yet. They don't know why it's been changed. They don't know if it's a message or like someone just trying to steer them off the track.
Yeah, it was just a shit episode. But who's going to go through all that trouble of recreating the entire freaking notebook, putting all their little tabs and stuff back in?
That's why I said get a hobby.
That is their hobby.
Get a better hobby. Start a podcast.
Yeah, but don't watch this episode of Pretty Little Liars if you're gonna do
it. All right, are we done beating this dead horse now?
Alrighty. Well, thanks everyone for listening to another episode of Shadewood. Sorry we had to curse your ears with this content this week. Hopefully there are no more episodes like this coming forward. But you know what? Out of 7 seasons, one bad episode is a pretty good show, I still think.
And we might be alone in thinking this is bad. Everyone else seems to like it. So.
I know. But maybe we just have bad taste. I know we do.
We're just not as sophisticated as Aria to appreciate film noir.
Exactly, I think so. If you do like this episode and you think we're dead wrong, you can reach us on our socials and you can tell us off if you'd like. So you can find us at Worst Sister Shire on Instagram, Facebook, Reddit, and TikTok.
I think you mean you can find us on Reddit, see?
Yeah, exactly. You can find us on Reddit, sir. But you can also tweet us at Sister Worst, or you can shoot us an email at worstsistershire@gmail.com. If that technology has been invented yet, unless you're in the 1940s, and then you can use, what do you call it?
Telegraph.
Yeah, you can do a telegraph, or you can bribe a switchboard worker. Anything you want to do, just, reach us. Let us know what you think. And we'll see you guys next week with another episode of Whisperia Lane, where we cover the finale of Desperate Housewives Season 1.
Woo-woo!
So make sure you tune in. It'll be a good one. All right, should we do a hada bum? We should say hada bum, Sue.
Hada bum, Sue. On the count of 3, we should also have a bum say.
Okay, let's do it. 1, 2, 3.
Had a bum say.